Good morning. God bless you. God bless you, young. Everybody say, God bless young. God bless young. Yeah, you're blessed. He already knew that, though. What a day. I am so excited about today, not just because of the barbecue, of course, but because I believe that God is going to implant into our hearts something of his word that will set us alight, that will change us, if we will let his word do that work. How many of you know that God's word is living? It is active. It is powerful. And it will completely and utterly transform us if we take it into our being and live by it. Some of you may be like most of us guys. You buy a new piece of equipment and you open the package and there's the instruction leaflet and you throw it away. How many of you guys are like that? Yeah? We've got some girls like that as well. Okay, confession time. And then you start to try to make this piece of equipment work, and you wonder why it's not going the way you thought it would. And you have to go to the trash bin, find the instructions, and follow them. God's word is like that. It's not just a great storybook. It's something that we, especially as people who are following Jesus, we must live by if we want to see its power and its life and its energy in our lives. And I believe that God is going to help us as we continue our theme of roots, where we're going right back to the very early days of the church, discovering some of the truths that these people not only believed, but they lived by, and some of the things that they saw God working in their lives. I hope you were able to pick up the sermon notes as you came in. If you didn't, please wave at us. We'll make sure that you get a copy of those right away. And this message, this sermon, is going to be about miracles. Miracles. And I believe that as God speaks to us through his word, if we will receive it, if we will believe God's word, if we dare to do that, we will have our eyes and our hearts opened up to see something that will change us. I believe that God desires and God intends for his church to be a manifestation of his glory. That if people around us who are following Jesus, if they want to know what God is like, we don't have to say to them, come to church or go to church or listen to this podcast. Those people should be able to look at us and see God made known in flesh, because we are the body of Jesus Christ. And for today's subject, which is miracles, I believe that God has placed within every believer, turn to your neighbor and say, every believer. Every believer, his own power to work the miraculous. If you remember 2 or 3 weeks back, we talked about God's Holy Spirit, how that he is the Spirit of life, but also how that as the Holy Spirit comes to live within the life of everyone who believes, he has in him, because he is the power of God. And as believers of Jesus Christ here today, May 5th, 2013, we have resident within us God's unlimited, unrestricted, unstoppable power. What we need to do is to learn how to release it according to God's will. Now, if we look at the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we see that for those 3.5 years where he went about Israel preaching about the kingdom of God, he also performed many miracles. And this was prophesied or foretold about him way back hundreds of years before, that the Messiah, the sent one of God, would perform these supernatural acts. If you're a believer this morning, please don't be afraid of that phrase, supernatural. The church should be the bearer and the demonstrator of what that means. The enemy has stolen it and come up with counterfeits, fakes. The church, as we are alive in God and have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, my friends, we should be demonstrating, according to the will of God, what supernatural means. Where God works through his people over and above that which is natural. And this was foretold about Jesus way back. And we can read in the book of Isaiah, for example, how that Jesus, it was prophesied of him that he would do miracles. And when Jesus was getting ready to step into his earthly ministry, you'll remember in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that he tells us how that Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate nor drank. While he was there, the devil tempted him. But Jesus resisted him. The Bible says that he came out of that place full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he went into the synagogue, as was his habit to do. And he took the scroll of the book, the prophet Isaiah. He opened it and he began to read. And he read this bit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to go and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are imprisoned, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. My friend, if you are oppressed, if you are depressed, Jesus is the one that will set you free. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he took the scroll and he closed it. That's all he read. He sat down, and the eyes of all the people there were upon him. What's he going to do now? He spoke, and he said to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so all the people bore witness to him, and they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph, the carpenter's son? Jesus knew that within him, as a man, the Son of Man, but within him was the power of God to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. And that was what he started to do. If you read on from Luke chapter 4, you will see that he went outside and there was a blind man, and Jesus healed him. There was a young lad who was possessed by an evil spirit, and Jesus delivered him from that evil spirit. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled, and he meant what he said. And he did what he said he was going to do. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says about Jesus that the Holy Spirit was with him. God was with him and power. And he went around doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. The Bible has on record for us at least 40 different miracles that Jesus performed. And there are many more that are not recorded. John chapter 20 says this, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Now I want you to catch something. "But these are written that you might believe." Over 40 miracles. Do you like homework? Yes. Read the book of Luke. Read the book of Luke. Chapter after chapter. Miracles that Jesus performed. He healed sick people. People who couldn't walk. People who had never walked. Jesus healed them. People who had never seen. Some would say that some people had not even got eyeballs to see. Jesus gave them sight. People who were paralyzed. Today they would be in wheelchairs. Paralyzed. People who were tormented by spirits, evil spirits. On one occasion, he had a multitude of people around him. And like us, they were getting hungry. And all they had amongst all these people to eat were five small barley loaves and two fish. Jesus took them, the Bible says. He looked up to heaven and he blessed this food and he started to distribute to his disciples, and his disciples took the food out to these people, and the Bible says there were 5,000 men plus women and children. And you know, women and children eat more than men. Is that right? We're going to find out in the barbecue later. How many? I don't know. 15,000 people, perhaps. At least 5,000 men were fed. And at the end, because Jesus is very tidy. Did you know heaven's going to be tidy? Yeah? So if you're not a tidy person here on earth, you need to learn how to be tidy. Jesus was a very tidy person. He told his disciples to go and tidy up. And they collected 12 basketfuls of fragments of food. It's a miracle. Another time Jesus was in a boat on the sea and the storm blew up and his disciples were afraid that they were going to drown. Jesus was asleep. He was at so much peace. The disciples woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Jesus rebuked the storm and there was a calm. And another storm, Jesus walked on the sea to meet his disciples in the boat. On at least 3 occasions, Jesus raised those that had died back to life. Amen. You see, Jesus was the man of God, the Son of God, knowing that within him was the power of God to work these miracles. Here's the question, why? Was Jesus just showing off? I don't think so. There's a clue here in John chapter 20. "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." The reason that Jesus performed these miracles was to show who he was, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. It was to bring people to God. Here in John chapter 2, we have the story of the very first miracle that Jesus performed. He was at a wedding and they ran out of wine. And so Jesus gave instructions. His mother, by the way, was very wise. Mary was a wise woman. She said to the people around, whatever Jesus says, you do. That's good advice for us to take right now. Whatever Jesus says to you, you do. And so he gave instructions that these water pots be filled up with water. And then they were to serve from that water the guests of the feast. And as they did that, what came out of those water vessels was the very, very best of wine. John chapter 2. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, which is the glory of God, and his disciples believed in him. Why? Because they saw the manifest glory of God through the power of God working through this man. This, my friend, is the reason why Jesus performed these miracles. To demonstrate who he's, what he was, and to bring people to God. Look here in Matthew chapter 11. You know, there are some really sad stories here. There were times when Jesus could not perform many miracles in his own town, the Bible says, because they did not believe. And at this time in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus has been going from city to city, performing miracles, healing people, delivering people from evil spirits. It says here in Matthew 11:20, he began to rebuke those cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. You see, the reason why Jesus did these wonderful, mighty works was to draw people to God, to reveal the power of God. On one occasion, a sick person was brought to him, and before he ever healed him, he said to the person, "Your sins are forgiven." My, that upset the religious people. Who does he think he is to forgive sin? You see, they didn't know that he was the Christ. Jesus did these mighty works, these miracles, in demonstration that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, so that people would be drawn to God. Now, what about the early Christians? What about when we go back to the roots of our church? What happened? Jesus has lived these 3.5 years in ministry, performed many, many miracles, not least of all that he was raised from the dead into newness of life as a man, and as a man ascended back to heaven. That's a miracle. So what happened to these believers that were left behind? What did they do? Are you interested? I'm glad you are, because we're going to find out anyhow. Reading the book of Acts, let's just go through the first few chapters. Acts chapter 2, they are all together in one place praying, and here comes the Holy Spirit and fills them. Fills them. What do? They start to move in the miraculous, because the Bible says that instantly they were able to speak in foreign languages that they had never learned. How do we know that? Because people had gathered into Jerusalem from every part of the world there, and they listened to what the disciples were saying when they talked about God, and they were stunned, amazed, because these uneducated people were speaking in their own languages. The Holy Spirit filled them, my friends, and they began to work miracles. I just want that thought to settle in your heart. Nobody came and said, would you like me to pray for you for a miracle? Am I against that? No. I will pray for you if you want a miracle. I prayed for a friend this morning for a miracle. But you are full of the Holy Spirit and His power, and you just need to release the miraculous according to God's will. It was God's will that these people from around the nations could hear about Him, and so He supernaturally enabled these people to speak foreign languages. Now, we've got one or two people here who can speak 4, 5, 6. I think there's one person who speaks 9 fluent languages. Now, is that the power of the Holy Spirit? Maybe. Maybe. But can you see what God is doing? They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's power flows out of them in the miraculous. Shall we go on? Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says that as these people, these early believers, were gathered together, God performed many, say many, many signs and wonders through the apostles. So many that they didn't even write them down in the book of Acts. Many signs and wonders. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the synagogue, to the temple. And as they go to the door to go in, there's a lame man. He's begging. He cannot get work because he's unable to walk. He's begging for money. Peter and John stop, and Peter says, I haven't got any silver or gold. But wait, I have got something far better than silver or gold. And the Bible says he took him by the right hand and he says, get up. And the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, came upon that lame man, and instantly he was healed. And the Bible says he picked up his crutches and he hobbled into church. Is that right? No. It says he went walking and leaping and praising God. The miraculous. Acts chapter 5. How do you explain this one? There were sick people who were healed when the shadow of Peter passed across them. On another occasion, Paul would pray over a piece of cloth, a material, and would send it to sick people, and they would be healed. Now, listen, as we go through some of these miracles, don't think that God is going to do it that way every single time. God is not limited or restricted to patterns and models. On these occasions, God chose to heal people in, let's just say it, crazy ways. People were wanting to get to the shadow of Peter because when it passed over them, it healed them. God is God. Jesus spat on the ground and from that mud slapped it on this blind guy's face, and he was healed of blindness. Does God do it like that every time? No. I was in India 15 years ago, maybe 13 years ago. We had a little church service one Saturday on the roof of a building with just some protection from the sun. Preached a gospel message, and this elderly man came to me or spoke to me through an interpreter. He was blind. His eyes were white, not just around the outside, but all white, whatever disease that is. And he said, can you pray for me? So I prayed for him. And when we finished praying through the interpreter, I said, can you see? He said, I can see your outline. And so I took him by the hand and we prayed some more. And I said, can you see? He said, I can see you perfectly clear. Now, does God do it that way every time? No. Let God be God. But when Jesus speaks, as Mary said, you do it. You do it. Acts chapter 5, verse 16, it says that multitudes were healed and freed from unclean spirits. Do we have unclean spirits today? You bet we do. What is it that tempts you, that wants you to sit down in front of a computer screen and look at pornography? It's an unclean spirit. Are you demon possessed? No, you're not. But you need to see a miracle happen in your life where you walk away from that evil spirit and you're set free from its influences. Can that happen? I've had people say to me, that will never happen. I say, if you believe God, it will. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Acts chapter 9, Saul, he was blinded by a light. Read the story out of Acts chapter 9. He was going to kill or at least arrest some believers. God stopped him. A light shone from heaven. That's a miracle, not the sun, another light. He was blinded for 3 days. A believer called Ananias was sent to lay hands on him, and he was healed and immediately started to preach. And in Acts chapter 9, 36 through 43, a lady called Dorcas, a believer, she became sick. She died. Did they have a funeral? Nope. They raised her from the dead. This is what the early church was doing. They weren't having bring and buy sales. Hello? They weren't having little social whist clubs. It's gone awfully quiet. No, they weren't doing those things. They were meeting together every day to have food and break bread together and have fellowship. But what God was doing through them were mighty signs and wonders. So here's the question. What about today? What about the church today? What is God's will for the church today? You know, we often say that pictures speak thousands of words. So what we've got to show you today, and I'm really excited about this, is a documentary. This is an up-to-date documentary. Are we almost ready to roll? Yep. It's a story, a true story, that started last July. So not July 1902, July 2012. Right up to date. And at the end, you'll be amazed to see what God has done. Just watch and listen to this.
This video available on YouTube and can be found under the keyword search, The Nation's Great Story.
Let's give God some praise. Let's give him some praise. Thank you, Father. Undeniable, the power of God. You want to know where that young lady is? She's right here. Do you want to stand up? This is Grace. Living, and that's an important word, of course, for Grace. Living proof of God's healing power. My friend, God still intends to work through his church today. That is his will. Jesus expects miracles to happen. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Is there anybody here who believes in Jesus? Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Jesus did some miracles. and they will do greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Can anybody tell me where Jesus is right now? He's at the right hand of his Father. Jesus said, because I go to my Father, those that believe will do great works. Two conditions. Number one, that Jesus is with the Father. Definitely. Number two, you and I believe. It's all it takes. And whatever you ask in my name, that's what I will do, Jesus said. Why? So that you can look good? So that grace can become famous? No. So that God can be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In fact, Jesus guarantees miracles will happen. And when I say that word guarantee, I mean it. And I know that it provokes within us a challenge. Because maybe we would say something like this: well, I haven't ever seen a miracle. God has never done it for me. My friends, it's so important that our point of reference is the Word of God. Did you notice that what grace did in those 9 days from the time this sickness erupted in her brain to the point where she had to give an answer to the professor? The process there was prayer to hear her words, to hear what God would say to her. Now, I'm going to say something here which is with the greatest respect to her and her parents. I've known Grace all her life, by the way. I've known her parents for well over 25 years. And I love them and I respect them. But in the times, and you can imagine this, that your 18-year-old daughter is thousands of miles away from home, and you get a call on your mobile on the way to work, which is when I let her father know, to let you know that your daughter has been rushed into hospital. They're threatening to do surgery. They want to know right away because there's an issue with the brain, and that's all we knew. And so they come across, and as we're praying, the question is, what shall we do, John? I said, and my wife Jo said, as we pray together with them all, we cannot tell you what to do. Grace had been told she was a ticking time bomb, that this was just waiting to erupt and to affect an area of her brain that controlled her lungs and her heart. What do you do? The only thing that we knew to do to advise Grace and her family was this: listen to what God says. And that's what we did. That's what we did. We just listened. And God spoke. And God told Grace that he would heal her. His word. You see, the reference point was not what we thought. It's not what the surgeon said. It's not what had happened before. Nothing like this had happened before to her. It was what God says. That must be the reference point. And you may not have seen miracles. You may have prayed for people and they did not get healed. My friends, please always keep God's word as your point of reference. It never changes. It never fails. And God cannot break a promise. And Jesus guarantees that miracles will happen. He said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Listen, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will speak new tongues. In my name they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. In my name they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus' words. Here's the question. Do we believe him? The early church did believe him. They did. The apostles did believe what Jesus said. They went into all of the known world. They preached the gospel. And they saw the power of God working through them in the miraculous and the supernatural. Paul, the apostle, was involved in a shipwreck, and nobody was drowned. A serpent latched itself onto his arm, his hand, and the poison didn't affect him. You see, these people did believe with all of their heart. How do I know that? Because they preached it until it got them into so much trouble that they were killed for it. Most of the 12 disciples were martyred for their faith, because they dared to take what Jesus had said, live it, preach it, believe it, and see it happen. And it wasn't the heathen people, it wasn't the unbelieving people who knew nothing about God that resisted them. It was the religious people who didn't like it, because it exposed their unbelief. So what about the church today? I believe, because the Bible says so, that it is still God's will, God's intention, for his church to see the miraculous, for God to work through his church, to see people healed, set free from addictions, where immoral lifestyle habits are broken in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. I want to challenge our hearts this morning. This is in no way a condemning message. This is an uplifting one. Think of situations in your life where maybe you have tried to remedy them, a sickness, an addiction, a marital problem, whatever it would be, and you can't do it. Can you begin to imagine what it would be like to see God step in and perform the impossible, humanly speaking? My friends, he will. He will. The difference between living in that place of torment and pain and suffering and living free from all of that is sometimes just belief. Taking God's word, standing upon it with both feet. I never have a plan B. Can you hear me? Never have a plan B. Because if you do, you don't really believe in plan A. Oh, but it's wise, it's sensible. If this doesn't work, then I can do this. How many? No, don't put your hand up. We've all done it. God never does have a plan B. Can you hear me this morning? I'm trying to charge your hearts with faith, so that when we sing those songs that Youngman and the band are leading us in, I believe he's my healer. We don't just say it because it says so on the screen and because Youngman is leading us in song. We say it because we believe it. And when we say, my God is greater, my God is stronger, my God is able, we say it because we believe it. But can I get to that place? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit, my friend, lives inside of you. And He is the one that is the life giver. He is the one that gives you the power of God. He is the one that will renew your mind, the Bible says, by the Word of God. He will help you in your thinking. And you may be an unbelieving believer right now. In other words, you believe in Christ for your salvation, but you're not sure if you can believe God for the rest of what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will help you if you will ask Him. There was a time when I didn't believe that God was my healer. Nobody had told me. I was ignorant. Some say I still am. But we leave that where it is. And then I began to read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God, began to teach me how true it is. Not just was, but how true it is. And there have been many instances in my life when I have needed miracles, and God has done it. My second daughter was born almost blind in one eye, and God healed her when she was 8 years old. My wife doesn't mind me speaking about this because it's a testimony of God. My wife has had lumps on her breast, and God has healed them. They are not there. They have gone. God has taken them away and healed her. There are people sitting in this place today whom God has touched, not just grace, but with miracles of healings. I know many people whose marriages have been shipwrecked, and they have by faith believed in God for a miracle of restoration, and God has done it. Of course, there is the greatest of all miracles called salvation. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 verse 8, if we repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins will be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That, my friend, is the greatest of all miracles. And I can remember coming to a place in my walk with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said to me one day, John, are you a believer? Holy Spirit has some funny conversations with me. I said, yes, I am a believer. You know I am. He said, how do you know that you're saved? I had to stop and think. I said, well, Holy Spirit, because you tell me and you show me that I am a child of God. He said, you believe that? I said, yes, I do. He said, then why don't you believe the rest of the Bible? Why don't you believe what it says when Jesus said, if you believe, these things will happen? Changed my life. I said, Lord, I quoted a father in the Bible whose child was sick, and Jesus healed the child, but the father said, I do believe, but please help me in my unbelief. My friends, He will. He will. And God wants to work through us, not to exalt us. The moment we start to exalt ourselves, the Bible says He will abase us. If we keep humble, stay humble, and we just let God work through us, His works for His glory. His works for His glory. His works for His glory. My friend, there is no limit to what God will do through His church today. This world needs a church that believes in God. Not just for salvation, but for everything else that God wants to do in this world today, to draw people to Himself. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will be so real to you that you'll have conversations with Him also. You'll hear Him speak and encourage you, that He will illuminate the Word of God in your hearts, that it will burn, it will pulsate in your very being, so that you're looking for opportunities for God to manifest his glory and for God to perform his word through you. In Jesus' name, and for the glory of God himself. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Just bow your hearts before God Almighty right now. Just let the Holy Spirit speak right into your very heart. You know, the Holy Spirit will never condemn us. He will convict. He will encourage us to live ever closer to God. And Father, we thank you for your word, our Bible. Thank you that it is full of your life. It is full of truth. And because it is your word, it cannot fail. Father, we would say like Paul that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation. And that, our Father, is the greatest of all miracles, that you would save us from our sin, undeserving, unable to help ourselves. You reached out with your love and you brought to this earth the beautiful gift of your Son Jesus, who demonstrated the perfection of your life, who gave himself as a sacrifice for us. And the power of that gospel has touched our lives and saved us, and we know that. Oh, Father, I pray that we will know the truth of all of your word. Father, I pray that just because we have not seen it, we will not believe it. I pray that just because someone said that God doesn't do miracles today, God, let us believe you instead of man. Father, I pray that just because we cannot understand it and explain it, I pray that we'll still believe it. And that we would give your Holy Spirit full access to work your works through these earthen vessels, these bodies, that you, Lord God, would be glorified, that Jesus would be exalted. Father, that souls would be saved as they see your power at work. Father, we thank you for healing grace. We thank you for healing others that are sitting here. Thank you for the miracles that we have seen, Father. We just know that you desire to do so much to reveal your glory to this world. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us to this place where we not only read the word of God, but we believe it and we live by it and we see it coming into being in our lives. We see miracles. We see the works of the evil one overthrown. We see addictions broken. We see marriages healed. We see lives transformed. We see the sick healed in Jesus' name. We're very careful to give you all the glory. Now, while we're in prayer, if you've never ever given your life to Jesus, you need to do that right now. You need to let the power of God come into your life to heal you. And I'm going to pray a prayer. You don't have to say it word for word, but say something along these lines that means something to you, that you want to receive the forgiveness of God and give the whole life your whole life, not just part of it, my friends, all of it to Jesus. And Jesus has promised that if we believe and are baptized, we will receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. So pray with me and say, God, thank you for giving Jesus. Thank you that he died for me, that he was punished in my place, that I can be forgiven of my sin, that you can receive me as forgiven and cleansed. I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit right now. And I, in turn, give to you the whole of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saying that.